live in St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm here with
Ohana Shea, founder of FortheCultureSTL.com.
I'm so glad to be talking with you. Thanks for making the time.
Of course.
So just to give people context, maybe a little abbreviated life story of what brought you to this moment in time.
So I grew up in a single mother household with my sister. I lived in Jennings, Missouri, which is still a part of St. Louis. So I've been St. Louis born and raised. I went to college at Southeast Missouri State. My minors were journalism and video production. I got into activism because of the Mike Brown, Darren Wilson, August of 2014. Where I started finding my voice a little bit more. I used to be a very timid, a very shy, insecure person. And throughout that movement and moving forward, it really helped me like find myself, find my passion, and just move towards something that felt more real for me. I still do work in corporate America as a videographer, but I also, which is really cool. So in 2017, there were protests for Anthony Lamar Smith because of Officer Jason Stockley. And that's when I got into more of like the organizing role with Expect Us, which is a protest organization group. And that is really what birthed For the Culture STL. So once those protests started dying down a little bit, a lot of the people that I was organizing with moved into like politics and policy and legislation, and I feel like all of those things are extremely important, but it wasn't my passion. So I was like, what is it that I want to give back to the community in these times? And I've always been for Black businesses, uplifting Black businesses, supporting Black businesses. In the beginning, I just used to use my social media, go to Black businesses, and just put them on there just so that people could see them, know that they were here. And at that time, it was like this really dark narrative around Black culture in St. Louis. A lot of people felt like it was nothing to do here, that we didn't have businesses here. But because I was taking it upon myself to go out and find them, I knew that they were here.
Totally.
So
and this was 2017.
Yeah, so this is the end of 2017 going into 2018. In 2018, I said my idea out loud of just having a space where we can go see Black events and Black businesses in one place. A friend of mine had a friend that was a website designer. She connected us. He offered to make the website for a very reasonable price, and then that's how For the Culture came along.
Oh my gosh, incredible.
It's amazing. It's,
and you know, I am just so honored to hear your story and the fact that you saw this need of calling out and showing the St. Louis that there are business owners that need our love and respect and support, and shining a light on it.
And that's been one of the most beautiful things. When I first started the website, I remember just thinking to myself, like, if one person uses it, then it's enough. At least it's serving its purpose. In the first couple of months, we had 20,000 users from multiple states, multiple countries, and right now we have users. We're at 240,000 users for the website. We have all 50 states, all 7 continents, and over 50 countries that have seen and utilized For the Culture STL.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I feel like the tourism board needs to tap into you. That's the next bit. Because honestly, when I was coming, you know, I'm the tidbit takes the road. I'm here on this journey. And when I was figuring out who and what is going on in St. Louis, immediately I was enamored by your site and reached out to you. So yeah, it really should be a part of this larger narrative and attraction for this city. I mean, it's such a part of the fabric of the identity of St. Louis. So I'm wondering, now here we are in 2020. It has been a year. And I'm sure you have a vision now to 5 years from now that may or may not be different from a year ago. So what have you seen? What has emerged for you this year?
So one of the biggest things that has emerged is just the need for a place like For the Culture STL. For the future, I hope to see For the Culture DC, For the Culture Atlanta, For the Culture Dallas. And just really giving people from that city an opportunity to have a job hosting their own for the Culture STL. So that's another thing that just really changed for me from last year to this year and in the future, is that For the Culture STL is completely a passion project of mine. I pay for the website domain, anything that comes with it when we host events, all of that money comes from directly my pocket. So now I started looking at For the Culture as a community-based project, and it wasn't until recently that I realized like this was a business and it deserves to be looked at in that lens, so that people that hopefully can take on a For the Culture in their city can also get paid to do this, because it is a lot of work.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Almost like licensing the brand for that community.
Yes. Yes.
And then what ways you can earn money from a variety of different entities.
Mm-hmm.
To spearhead the For the Culture mm-hmm. in that city.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
So the businesses that are in your network,
mm-hmm.
can you tell me maybe a favorite story of yours of something that you've seen happen because they're a part of For the
uh-huh.
Culture? I don't know, I'm looking, I love stories of like serendipity and joy.
Yes, so there's this restaurant called Gourmet Soul, and they have amazing food. They found out that they were in For the Culture because somebody came to them because they saw them off of the website. So they had no idea that they were even in this website of black-owned business. Yes, of black-owned businesses. And when they saw this and just the love that they were getting from the community and the support and uplift, they actually reached out to me, emailed me, sent a donation because of the work that For the Culture STL is doing. Yes, and we have gotten them connected with people that work on brand strategies and things like that. So just really building up brands, because the thing about For the Culture is we deal with all sort of black businesses. So those grassroots social media type of businesses, mobile businesses, up into your businesses with physical locations that may be more known. And we are just here to just support, uplift. So it's so many stories, because we've had events, because that's another thing about For the Culture STL is that we try to do black-owned pop-up shops. We try to do, yes, like black vending events to give people like physical and tangible opportunities to make money. So for a lot of the businesses in that, they are small owned black businesses, that this is their first time getting a chance to vend, and the experience that they get from it, the community that they meet from it, as well as actually getting some money into their pockets. We have just seen so many just beautiful stories and connected with so many people who were just trying to give entrepreneurship a shot.
I could not agree more. I find that lots of times in entrepreneurship, we can tend to just talk about financial capital. Oh, I need to raise this money or get a loan or da-da.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm hearing is this extraordinary value of social capital.
Yes.
And building the network of support.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you're that restaurant that's a part of your network, or that emerging social media group,
yes.
How can they even work together?
Yes, and yeah. That's been one of the biggest things that has just been that heart feeling thing, is that when these businesses are having these events together, or if they use each other off of the website, because it's not just people of community members trying to find black businesses, there's also relationships within the black businesses and helping each other and bartering with each other and bringing each other into these different events or opportunities.
Yeah.
And it's just such a beautiful thing, because the biggest center of For the Culture STL is creating and establishing a community within a black community, something that is authentic, genuine, and getting us to know each other. Because when I started this, I realized that was the missing element in all of this, is that people had that negative narrative about the black businesses or black people in St. Louis because we didn't know each other. So just being a connector as a website of getting people to know each other, to help each other, to uplift each other, has been one of the most beautiful things outside of just getting these businesses a spotlight.
Yeah.
But getting them to know each other.
You know, this, I feel, I might make a bold statement right now, but I feel that a very strong tactic in this American culture can be a form of oppression can be to keep people disconnected and not realizing they're coalescing.
Yes.
The power of the coalition.
Yes.
And so when you keep people disconnected and fragmented, you feel disempowered.
Mm-hmm.
And so creating these peer-to-peer networks of empowerment,
mm-hmm.
huge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So now that we're in this line of thought of creating connection, creating these serendipitous moments of joy,
mm-hmm.
what has surprised you this year, or even in the years prior, about your adaptability?
One of the things is, I always say I know what I know and I know what I don't know. So, like I said, my undergraduate degree was in video production and journalism. And then I went back to school to get my master's in multimedia production. And that's what I know, right? So having to adapt to even business culture, I'm not from that background. Like, business wasn't my background. Having to adapt to the technology of hosting a website, of updating a website, of learning coding, small bits of coding, I'm not all the way there.
Yeah.
But having to adapt to the times also, building a brand off of a social media versus physical versus all of these different elements that come with, because for the culture, like I said, I had to turn into the mindset of this is a business as well, so you have to brand it as well.
Right.
So all of those things, it takes you opening up yourself to something new, adapting to things that make you feel uncomfortable, trying new things, yes, being okay with failing if it's not your expertise, or even if it is. It's just all of those things that you just have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, honestly.
Every day of my life, I feel like I'm stepping into an abyss of discomfort.
Yes.
It's something I think about all the time. I curate my firm. We'll say, you might make jam, but not know how to run a jam business.
Yes.
Because all the things you're talking about, it has something to do with your core offering of mm-hmm. For the Culture, but mm-hmm. lots of it's administrative.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is figuring out that MailChimp e-blast.
Yes,
you know, or,
yes.
You know, just random other stuff that has to happen.
Yes.
That isn't even necessarily about the event itself, for example, or mm-hmm. the pop-up event itself.
Mm-hmm.
All of these other pieces
mm-hmm.
that go into running a business.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I found, myself included, lots of small businesses don't take into account that time
mm-hmm.
it takes.
Yes.
That's not just about the product or service.
Yes.
Yeah.
That has been one of the biggest things that I had to share. So the thing about me too is I'm an open book. So with my background in journalism and video production, what I really used to want to do is make documentaries, because I believe that everybody had a story. And one of the biggest things that keep us apart is the fact that we don't understand, or we don't see humanity in each other, or see similarities in each other. But when you hear about somebody's story, you'll hear things that are relatable to you. So it'll make it harder to not like them, harder to hate them, harder to be disconnected, because you'll see the humanity in them instead. So that was one of the biggest things even for me in this, is just sharing what's going on. And those, it's sometimes where For the Culture is a lot of work, and I have to share with my network that seeing the businesses up there and all of that feels really good, but you don't know the time and the work and the investment that it took to get the information, to find the pictures, to get the right contact and emails, and what that exchange looked like, and then correlating that into getting them on a website, making sure everything is spelled correctly, looking at it and making sure it makes sense, publishing it, then checking it on your phone for mobile and the different web browsers. So many things. So it is a lot. And I think that even just from the business standpoint, people see that I have this product and I want to get it to the community, but they don't look at the branding sometimes.
Absolutely.
Or having a online or social media voice, or having a physical voice. And that's another thing for me that this website has challenged for me, is that I am, like I said, I was such a shy and timid person. So even speaking out loud has been something for me that's been quite difficult, and just adjusting to that. And it's still an adjustment. And I tell people all of the time that when you follow your passion, it's going to take you to all of the places that you need to be. And before you know it, a lot of those things that used to make you really, really uncomfortable become a little bit more comfortable because you're following a passion of yours. And really, it's discomfort because it's something that you believe in. So once you look at discomfort as something like that, like it's really from a good place, you can push past it.
Oh, wow. I feel like I'm getting goosebumps over here because I deeply resonate with this, that I've run Curate for 6 years, and every day, but definitely every year, it feels like another part of me is like cracking open.
Yes.
And I am both excited by it, afraid of it, holding that both and emotion of feeling lots of joy and also lots of loneliness, like all of that at the same time. And living in that complexity is not easy. And I find that many people I've crossed paths with in life, maybe particularly living in DC, where people tend to have a certain hierarchical job year over year, they're sort of staying in a similar career. That's the skill set I've learned in being a business owner is so different.
Yes.
And really pushes you as a person.
Yes.
And I like to think that that skill set of resiliency and bravery will serve us both well.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the biggest part for anybody that's stepping into something. Anything that's stepping into anything is that you have to have that resiliency, because it's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
Things aren't going to go as planned, and you have to just know that, take it as a learning lesson, get up and keep going.
I was sharing with you that I spend my time currently between DC and Baltimore. And when I arrived to St. Louis, I was acknowledging that the city itself of St. Louis is smaller than the suburban county of St. Louis around it.
Yes.
And the gentleman I was speaking with told me that St. Louis is similarly set up to Baltimore, and that the tax base is separate. The city of St. Louis tax base is separate from the county tax base, which is similar with Baltimore County and Baltimore City. So I'm wondering if you can, if you're open to it, give us a bit of a like historical context to you and your work too, and like what the sociocultural vibe of how the city has grown, and how this divide or not divide, because I've just arrived here, of like city and county is, and how people have grown up in this city.
Well, taking a far history lesson back, so St. Louis City, just in the early 1900s, 1916, around that time, was a really white established city. So when we had the East St. Louis riots, you had black folks that were now moving in from East St. Louis coming into St. Louis County. So you have the Kinloch area, which was a predominantly black, and that's in St. Louis County. From there, we had black folks moving out of that area into the city and into the county. And during that time is what we had with white flight. So we had people moving out from the city because of black people moving in, moving out of the county because of black people moving in, and going further out into St. Charles. So I don't know if you've heard of St. Charles, but that's just like a really traditionally like white, richer space, which really fragmented St. Louis City, St. Louis County, and left just a lot of like poorer areas. So you have North City, which is a predominantly black area, where the medium income is around 15 to 20,000. We also have the Del Mar Divide, so it's this very popular street in St. Louis. On one hand of it, you have the St. Louis County side of it, then on the other half you have the St. Louis City side of it. Just on that divide,
just a street.
Yes, yes, and just on that divide alone, it's almost a $60,000 difference in income. On one side, the average income is around $90,000. On the other side, the average income is around $30,000. So that is just some of that like traditional rooted like in racism that and just to be quite frank and having a real conversation of where like some of the problems in the black neighborhoods, some of the poorest black neighborhoods are in the city and where that comes from. Which is why it's so important for For the Culture STL to be a service of all black businesses, but really paying attention to the black businesses that are in the city or in downtown or in these areas where when you spend money with these places, they're going back into the community, because that's a lot of what you have are people that work in the area but then live in St. Charles, live in those more traditionally white neighborhoods in the counties. So that's where that money is going back to. So we really have a lot of work to do in St. Louis to make sure that black communities are benefiting as well.
Yes, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. And this is something that has been very top of mind, even with a lot of conversation around the nation, around police forces as well, mm-hmm. and people not living in. This is definitely top of mind in D.C. and Baltimore. I'm not sure if it is here as well.
Yes.
But how, you know, the social services we provide as a city, and then who's administering that protection or service. Do they live, are they from that community, or did they live somewhere else and just come in?
And that is actually just crazy that we're talking about this right now, because the mayor of St. Louis yesterday just passed the residency requirement, banning it from being at least 30 minutes from the community to opening it up. So police can now be an hour away from the city that they are serving.
That
yes.
seems like the opposite direction of where most people are going.
So when you have an officer that may be from St. Charles or even farther outside of St. Louis City that's driving in an hour, first of all, you're going to have disconnect with the people in that community because you do not know them. And then second of all, they are making this money and doing all of this and then going back to their community to spend the dollars. And when you have black communities being the most policed, and you're taking that dollar out of the community, you're keeping that community oppressed.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And yes, and the opportunity for that narrative of othering just keeps growing. Circling back to what you were sharing before about wanting to be a documentary filmmaker and like open up the humanity and the storytelling.
Yes.
But that creates this even larger divide.
Yes.
So, yeah, and I we love this. So, something I've really thought a lot about in what you were just sharing about having that dollar circulated back in the community, I find that, again, with, like, American capitalism, lots of times we look to businesses to be, well, maybe as of late, I'm not going to say forever, maybe in the past 10 years, perhaps, we've looked more towards businesses to be for profit, for purpose, standing up for values. Have you seen larger businesses here change the way that they're interacting with communities here, specifically the black community, or is that not a conversation that's happening?
So it is definitely a conversation that is happening, but I think right now is it performative? Is it real? How deep are these businesses willing to go? Is it just a social media post? Is it just a one-time sum of cash? Is it just a one-time thing? Or is this something that these larger brands are really going to be committed into helping these communities, helping these businesses grow? And I think right now we are at a point where we can identify racism, we can identify like racist structures, we can identify those problems within businesses, we can identify what major corporations should be doing, But right now it's all about the how authentic are they? How much of a cultural change are we really talking about making? Or is this just something because it's a conversation? Yeah. For now. So those conversations are definitely happening. You definitely see businesses doing more of the social media work. You see some things happening with investing in black-owned businesses or local businesses. But I think it's just how long is this going to stay relevant? How much is this going to be forced into their new culture? How authentic is it for them to keep the work going when it's no longer a conversation piece?
Right. And how is it actually a part of their systems of business?
Exactly.
And not just of this moment.
Exactly.
Really interesting. So what are the main industries of St. Louis, of these like bigger entities? Is it financial industry? Is it manufacturing? What are these larger pockets of businesses? I know that at one point in time, Budweiser obviously was acquired, but was here. And I was learning that all of the master brewers there then left and now started a bunch of craft breweries.
Yeah.
Maybe we could call beer an industry here.
So like I said earlier, I know what I know, and I am fine with saying what I don't know. So I wouldn't really know what industry to call out in that, and I don't want to just try to like make something up. So
sure. No worries.
Be honest.
Yeah. No, thank you. So in this past year, and maybe again, maybe this was a something that you had been ruminating on even before 2020. But what are things that you would say were non-negotiable for you before that you're willing to negotiate now? Or the opposite, maybe you were negotiating some things and now you have stronger boundaries and non-negotiables. Either way.
So I think what 2020 for me really did was just open me up to a vision for the culture that I just never thought of at all. Like I said, when I started For the Culture STL, it was completely just to give the community access to black-owned businesses and events, and that was it. In 2020, when George Floyd was killed and Breonna Taylor was killed, I got reached out to by a lot of businesses, bigger brands, bigger names of wanting to uplift For the Culture. And one of the things that I always tell myself is that this is going to be something for Black St. Louis. Like, this is, it doesn't need to be any bigger or any smaller than what it was. But actually, Maxine Clark, who is the founder of Build-A-Bear,
did not know. Amazing.
Yes. Has a foundation called the Clark Family Foundation, and she donated her team to work on another feature on For the Culture, which is the map feature. So now if you go to For the Culture, you don't just see the directory or the event page, you will now see a map that works like a Google map, but just for Black-owned businesses. So you can be in any area in St. Louis and say, I'm looking for something to eat, or I want to go shopping, and you can pull up For the Culture STL /map, cool. And it will bring you right to the map, and you can search those things. So for me, having somebody that was outside of the Black race of our culture, it wouldn't have been something that I would have been open to. But I realized that those are missed opportunities by keeping it in that type of alignment. Anything that gets the businesses on this site more recognition, more opportunities, more visibility, that's really the mission of the website. So I did have to change some mindset thinking and realize that getting help is never a problem. You know, like genuine help, authentic help. You can't shoot those things down, because then you're missing opportunities, and it's not for me. For the Culture STL is not mine at all. I tell people this all the time. It is the community's. So if somebody is coming in and is going to do something that's going to help the community, then I would be remiss to let that fade away.
Yeah, to let that opportunity go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And the fact that identifying this opportunity and the way in which you could use that team in a way that then uplifted the businesses mm-hmm. even more.
Yes. Which gave them even more. The map feature launched on August 1st, and right now we're at 20,000 users just for the map feature.
Wow.
Which means that we have 20,000 people that can see physical locations, because that's another thing. People have it easier to ignore what they feel like they don't see or don't exist. So now you cannot say that you don't know where these black businesses are, because it's physically in front of you. You can pull up a map and get the directions directly to them. So they're there. So that would have been such a missed opportunity. That would have been something that would have just taken away from the opportunities that these businesses now have. And it's more than just gaining them new customers or more clientele or just some revenue. It is opportunities for people to come barter with them, for people to come help them, to people to come uplift them. So that was something that last year I would have never been open to, with somebody else helping with a website that was not black. But now I really definitely see the benefit of just having this be something that can be open to the community, so that we can get black businesses, black people, what they deserve.
Absolutely. I am so inspired. Is there anything I haven't asked that you wish I asked?
People, that is like the last question that you get asked all the time. And it's like, what is this? What else is there that can be added in?
Or maybe something you were like, oh, I wish I had said this, but I didn't. I don't know, anything like that.
I do want to call out just, so right now we are on Washington Street in downtown St. Louis. So
yes, please describe where we are.
Yes. So this is Washington Street, downtown St. Louis. This is a loft district and a business district. And also it used to be really known as like the party district. So this is where people used to come for like nightlife.
Oh.
You have your businesses that are right around the corner. So you have a lot of those restaurants for lunchtime and lunch hour. And what the coolest thing is that I just made a post about is that this is really turning into a black-owned gym. On Washington Street alone, we have 9 black businesses that are restaurants, nail shops, clothing, that if you go up and down just this 4-block radius, you will be running into black businesses. We have Rain, which is a new black-owned restaurant, which is so big that it is now the biggest black-owned space in the state of Missouri. Not in just St. Louis City, St. Louis County, St. Louis. It is the biggest black-owned business in the state of Missouri. So I think that it speaks to the culture change. I think that it's speaking to, in 2014, this is not what it looked like. In 2014, we didn't have this magnitude of black businesses. And now we are seeing not just this boom of black businesses that is online or Etsy or any of those type of things, but these are having brick and mortar locations. They have physical locations in main parts of St. Louis, and I think that is such a big and beautiful thing, and I just felt like it was so important to call that out.
I'm so glad you did. Yes, and just describing, I mean, it is a beautiful October day.
Yes.
I have just arrived to the downtown neighborhood, and it, like, the architecture alone is stunning,
mm-hmm.
and to now know the history of this space and how it's evolved and how there's a boom of black-owned businesses in this area. This is a main part and attraction of the city,
mm-hmm.
and so it's really neat.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
So, anybody listening, where can they find you? On the internet? I don't know, maybe if they're coming through St. Louis.
Yes.
Maybe they gotta check out this map.
Yes. So the number one thing is, if you are coming into St. Louis, if you are from St. Louis, if you want to I'm scared.
Luckily we have editing. So
yes.
We can edit this out, but that is a scary bee.
Yeah, it was big. Oh, okay. Man. Okay. So anybody that is listening, there is one more thing that not call out. Let's that is specifically another add-on to For the Culture STL is that we do a biannual catalog. So we do, right now we're getting ready to launch the Black-owned holiday catalog, and in the springtime we do a spring-summer Black-owned catalog. And the cool thing about that is that it's open to businesses everywhere. Oh. So this is not just a St. Louis initiative. We've had businesses from Atlanta, Chicago. We've had businesses from Africa that have gotten onto this catalog, and it's just like your average catalog, Sears, Macy's, just online in a digital space, and you can shop all of these different Black businesses. So for anybody that is listening right now, if you want to go to fortheculturestl.com to support Black-owned businesses in St. Louis, as well as the catalog that is supporting Black-owned businesses everywhere. And if you want to follow me on any of the platforms, yes. My name is Ohun, O-H-U-N, last name Ashe, A-S-H-E, and you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and I just would love to connect with any and everybody.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
All the follows.
Did you know that The Tidbit is derived from a bi-weekly newsletter that we send out at Curate? In it, we discuss what we're reading, eating, drinking, listening to, and learning. 5 quick morsels of information to get you in the know and on top of your game. Head over to curate.co, C-U-R-E-A-T-E.co to sign up. Also, we would love if more listeners like you could find out about The Tidbit. Our mission at Curate includes the sharing of education and access to resources. And the best way to reach more folks like you is to leave a review on iTunes. Seriously, head over and let us know what tidbit of knowledge resonated with you. Until next time, remember to scale thoughtfully and source locally.